When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, I'm sure you were just like me, up at 5:30 in the morning today to watch the MLB Seoul Series between the Dodgers and the Padres in Seoul, South Korea, with your popcorn and your soda and everything, all set to watch the first real game of the Major League Baseball season. No, I'm kidding. I know that you were. I know that you were up. I don't know that you were watching the game, but
yeah, I was up. But the Dodgers forgot they were playing.
hey, it's not like it hasn't been all over MLB.com for the last 2 months or anything like that. The Dodgers, of course, win. They scored four times in the eighth inning. All sorts of crazy stuff happening in this game. They had a ground ball go through the first baseman Jake Cronenworth's. The webbing in his glove that sort of sparked that late rally. Tyler Glasnow looked pretty solid. He only gave up two runs in his five innings. So the Dodgers look like everybody expects the Dodgers to look.
Yeah, Ohtani gets two hits. Mookie Betts gets two hits. So the top two hitters in that lineup, the lineup we've heard so much about this spring, go 4-for-9 with two RBIs. That's not bad. Freddie Freeman takes an 0-for-2, but he walks twice. So that's a potent top of the lineup.
Yeah, and we saw Shohei Ohtani actually show he's human. He made a base running blunder. He got doubled up on a deep fly ball to center field. He was on first. He went past second base and didn't re-tag second base on his way back to first. So they got him for a double play, a 9-3-6 double play. Pretty rare there. But, interesting just to baseball, it's baseball. We're watching real baseball now. So I'm sure we'll all wake up again tomorrow morning at 5:30 and tune in for the finale of the Seoul Series. The Seoul Series, I don't know, man. They got to find a better name for that. It sounds like some sort of hippie garbage on the cable network. But I don't know. Seoul, South Korea is where the Major League Baseball season opens. It opens with the Dodgers. I think nobody will be shocked if the Dodgers play in the first game of the season and they wind up playing in the last game of the season. But there's a whole lot of baseball to be played between now and then. We haven't even gotten most of the teams going yet. So, meanwhile, in Goodyear, Arizona, the Guardians pick up not even a split. They go 0-1-1. They tied one and they lost another split squad exhibition games against the Brewers and the Rockies. The big story, I guess, was. In the ninth inning of the game against the Rockies, Chase DeLauter coming through again, this time with a big three-run home run. We should be getting used to saying, Chase DeLauter came up with a big hit because this guy has done it time and again this spring. All three of his hits yesterday had exit velocities over 100 miles an hour. Is it going to be a mutiny when the Guardians finally announce that they're sending him down to a minor league camp?
It might be a mutiny, Joe, among the fans. They want to see something exciting. They want to be excited about this team, and this team has done so little to instill excitement in their fan bases this off season and really in spring training. But from a practical standpoint, a baseball standpoint, you know, no matter how good Chase DeLauter has been, and he's been very, very good, he probably has to go down and play in the minors.
Yeah, he just needs those at bats. He needs that experience and needs to. And believe me, if he's ready, he's ready. What was the argument that Charlie Manuel used when he wanted 20-year-old CC Sabathia to make the roster back in like 2001? You know, he said, you know, what better place for him to finish that development than up in the majors, where he can, you know, just grow and learn that way. And CC wound up winning 17 games. And the only reason he wasn't Rookie of the Year that year was because Ichiro.
Right, Joe. And a good point. That's a really good point. And the one thing you worry about, though, you know, I think it's a little bit different for a starting pitcher as opposed to an everyday player. And if DeLauter was up here, you know, he has to play every day. You know, I think a position player can get buried a lot quicker than a pitcher, starting pitcher especially. A pitcher's got 4 days to work on his craft between starts. You know, a position player's out there every day, 4 or 5 at bats every day, and a bad start and for a young player, it can hurt his confidence. And you know, like Terry Francona used to say, you're not developing players when you're letting them get beat up. So, you know, I think this is a little safety net for DeLauter. Go down, whether it's AAA or AA. I would think, you know, in talking to him at the start of spring training, he thought he'd open in AA. So, you know, maybe he goes down there, gets some more experience, and, you know, uses this great experience in big league camp to kind of propel his career.
Now, would it surprise you if they maybe told him, hey, you're going to open in AA, but we'd like you to spend the remainder of camp with the Major League club just to continue to get those at-bats? Or do guys like Will Brennan, Ramon Laureano, do they need to be in those games and getting their reps? Maybe that could happen, and DeLauter comes in as their replacement in late-inning games for this, you know, this stretch run in the Cactus League.
Yeah, I think that's probably what will happen. I wouldn't be surprised either way, Joe. If they keep him, you know, they tell him he's going down, that he's not making the club, but he sticks with the big league club until they break camp, what, next Tuesday? Or, you know, they just tell him, hey, it's time for you to go to the minors and play every day and get ready for your season.
Another guy who's really stood out and really, you know, sort of made a name for himself in camp, Daniel Schneemann. Gets a pair of hits and a walk yesterday, scored a run. You know, he's looked really good. Is this a guy, you know, if disaster strikes and there's an injury or something, is this a guy maybe that they can consider for a promotion at some point during the season, just if there's a need for him?
Yeah, Joe. I mean, he's probably had the best under the radar camp of anyone. On the roster or not on the roster. I mean, he's this guy, you know, he plays all over the infield. He's hitting 344, 11 for 32. You know, he's got one home run, 6 RBIs. It seems like every time you play him, he gets a hit, 1 or 2 hits. He knows he can even play shortstop. So, yeah, I think he is, you know, he's really put himself on the mat. He's a valuable guy. He's like 27. He's a little older than a prospect, but I think he, you know, this next step, Joe, I would think would be helping a big league ball club, because there's not too much for him more to prove at AAA.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to go down to AAA and probably play every day, just continuing to move around the diamond as you know, he stays ready in case there's a need for him. A couple of guys who have really struggled as of late. Estevan Florial yesterday, 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Also over in, I believe, in the other game, Eli Morgan took the loss, you know, had a rough day on the mound. Both of these guys are likely to be on the opening day roster, but, you know, if they continue to struggle the way they have, they might not be around for very long.
Yeah, you know, I think there's probably a little different case for both guys. Florial's new to the club. He's out of options. You know, he looked like he was kind of relaxed a little bit there for a couple of days, but, you know, he had another bad game yesterday. You know, so I'm not sure what they do with him. I think Eli's probably got a little longer rope, you know, based on his track record, what he's done the last 2 years. I know he's got knocked around a little bit this spring. You know, spring training is different for different guys. And, you know, the desert doesn't do favors to his changeup. But obviously he's got to pitch a lot better than he has this spring once the, you know, the green light goes on. And you don't know, Joe, is he hurt? I don't know. I mean, that, you know, what you start asking yourself questions when you usually a reliable reliever is giving up these kind of hits and these kind of home runs. But you also have to take into effect that it's Arizona, the ball travels, and you know, pitchers are usually at a disadvantage.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, you forget about Eli Morgan's bread and butter pitch being that changeup, and it does not do the kinds of things that it does when you're at that high elevation, that dry air, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, not to make any excuses. I mean, if you're giving up home runs, you're giving up home runs. But, you know, there are different things that they're looking at with Eli Morgan for sure as they're getting ready to break camp. Wanted to ask you about Hunter Gaddis. He came in yesterday in the game against Milwaukee and gave them two scoreless, hitless innings, struck out four. Could with the need now in the hole in the bullpen with Trevor Stephan, you know, having elbow surgery and gone for the year, could Hunter Gaddis maybe be a guy who steps in? I mean, he certainly fits the profile of a Trevor Stephan in terms of the size and how hard he throws. Is he a guy who maybe they could consider using him for, you know, one or two inning stints and seeing if his stuff plays up because of that instead of, you know, having him be a starter?
Oh, yeah. I think there's no doubt Hunter is going to be in the bullpen. He, like you said, he pitched two scoreless innings yesterday, four strikeouts. You know, he's really had a great spring. It looked for a while like he was in the competition for the fifth spot, that fifth starter spot. But, you know, they've kind of reined him in a little bit. You know, two innings was the longest he's gone in a while in his appearance yesterday. So I think he's got one of the openings in the bullpen belongs to him for sure.
Yeah, but the question is, are they going to use him or can he work his way back to one of those leverage, you know, spots in the later innings and maybe as a guy who sets up an Emmanuel Clase?
Yeah, I don't think they have nobody else, Joe. I mean, they've lost three of their back end guys. So, yeah, I mean, he's got to fill in for, you know, Karinchak or Stephan or Henches.
And Nick Sandlin, obviously he's been sidelined with the flu bug that's going around camp. So, you know, he hasn't been available lately. It's really some of these guys are getting big opportunities and Hunter Gaddis is right in front of him now, I guess, in terms of, you know, does he want to go out there and be the guy who fills in the late innings in the bullpen?
Yeah. And, you know, he's such a versatile guy. You know, he started more often than not last year. So he could start, he can relieve, and the way they've used him this spring, they've kind of built him up, and now they're able to, you know, tell him, okay, we'd like to see you in the bullpen a little more. We think you're built up enough where you could still, you know, if we need you, you know, could go in and make an emergency start. But I think, you know, his main role is going to be in the bullpen. It's going to be late, Joe. It's got to be late.
Yeah.
Because they have no one else back there.
Well, he's growing his hair out long again. So, you know, he and Scott Barlow will kind of look like each other. You know, you need that, you know, crazy long hair to be a late inning madman going out there. You don't know where it's going, I guess, is a good way to think about it. Hey, speaking of don't know where it's going, if you don't know where it's going, the best way to get informed and stay up on all things Guardians is to become a Subtext subscriber. Go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346. It's $3.99 a month to sign up, and that's Hoynsie and me giving you Guardians updates sent directly to your phone via text as soon as we know what happens. One of those updates yesterday, it was announced that Shane Bieber will be the opening day starter for the Guardians for the fifth consecutive season. He ties, I believe, Corey Kluber for the longest consecutive opening day starts streak. He's two behind. Was it Feller who had seven?
Feller had seven, but they weren't consecutive. It was
right.
Stanley Kovaleski and Kluber had five straight. So Bieber is going to move into a tie with those two guys.
There you go. So, we sent that to our subtext subscribers before we had a story about it. But obviously, it was a no-brainer, and the not the best kept secret in the world in terms of Bieber being the guy, but now he can just focus on winning that first start against Oakland on opening night.
Yeah, usually this is announced maybe like the second week of Cactus League games. You know that it's going to be Bieber. Even when Kluber was here, he did it 5 years in a row. So they've had two starting pitchers, Joe, in the last 10 years make every opening day start. That says something for the consistency of the organization and their ability to develop lead dog starters. I mean, guys that are number one guys or aces. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, this was a no doubter, and he's earned it this spring, Joe. He didn't back into it. There was some questions about his elbow, of course. But, he's looked great all spring. So good for Shane. And I think he's, in talking to him early in camp, he's in a real good spot. I think he's ready for this season. He's ready for, the twists and turns that could take place. No one knows it better than he does that this is his walk year. And he's probably going to, get traded at the deadline. And I think he's ready to handle that.
Yeah, that's the big question is, will this be his last of five consecutive starts on opening day for the Guardians? And that's more than likely going to be the case. I think everybody realizes that. But, just knowing that Bieber has that is in a good headspace right now going into it and going into the season, I think is reassuring for a lot of Guardians fans because, they're going to ride him as long as they got him and, get as much out of him as they can. Before sending him off to probably the Dodgers or maybe the Yankees or who knows, one of those teams is going to get a hell of a guy in their rotation for the stretch run at some point. As far as the Guardians' fifth spot in the rotation coming out of camp, we know that Bieber, Bibee, Logan Allen are ready as the first three guys. We're assuming that Tristan McKenzie will be the fourth starter on Sunday in Oakland. But beyond that, who is contending right now for that fifth spot?
Yeah, Joe, I love this time of spring training. The way they, Carl Willis and Stephen Vogt and all the pitching guys, that you can see them kind of. You can just picture them getting in the back room and kind of plotting this out, like they're, playing some big chess game. It's almost so, it's going to Tyler Bibby, Beattie, I should say, is starting a triple A game today, the off day. Everybody else is off, but Beattie's got to go to work. Carrasco is going to start against Kansas City on Thursday. He'll start the Cactus League game. Then Tristan McKenzie is pitching a B game against the White Sox on Thursday as well. So you can see all these three guys kind of swirling around. And, for that fourth, who's going to pitch, make the fourth start, and who's going to win the fifth job. Now, like you said, I think McKenzie is definitely in for the fourth spot in a rotation, as long as he ends camp healthy, knock on wood. And the fifth spot is going to be between Beattie and Carrasco, and whoever the kind of the loser of that could still make it in the bullpen.
Yeah. That was my question is I think if the season started tomorrow, Beattie and Carrasco probably both make the roster. One of them's a starter. One of them's a reliever.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you feel bad for guys like Xavion Curry and Ben Lively. That virus that has, kind of rampaged its way through the clubhouse really kind of knocked those guys for a loop, and they're just getting back on their feet now. And I don't think they'll be stretched out enough. But, you know, Curry has, he had pitched eight innings. He had pitched a lot early in camp. But, that just because they might be out of the competition for the fifth starters role, they could still kind of sneak into the bullpen, too.
Right. Another guy who's been dealing with an injury and hasn't been around after having an outstanding early part of camp and really was probably the hottest hitter before DeLauder, asserted himself on Angel Martinez has been sidelined with a sore toe. He's going to get that looked at this week.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, the toe hasn't gotten any better. He fouled it off, like last week. So the toe is still giving him a hard time. He was going to get reassessed. This is a guy that just had a great spring. He was hitting .421. He was a talk at camp like before DeLauder. And so you feel bad for Martinez, and we'll have to see where this goes. But one way or the other, he's made a great impression, and just hopefully the injury, if there is an injury, it's not serious, and he's able to play and go down to the minors and get back into the AAA season without missing a beat.
Yeah, the competition at shortstop, for a time there during the Cactus League games, was pretty wide open. Now it's sort of narrowed down to between Brian Rocchio and Gabriel Arias. Arias yesterday, I believe, 1-for-5. Rocchio 2-for-4. He's had three consecutive games of at least two hits. He's got a home run, two RBIs, hitting .270 with a .767 OPS. In 37 at-bats. So Brian Rocchio sort of surging ahead right now in terms of the on-field performance component of the shortstop competition. But we don't know, behind the scenes what Rocchio would have to overcome in order to win the job from Arias, as we assume that he went into camp as, the favorite. So an update on that. Rocchio, sort of hot lately. I wouldn't be surprised on Thursday to see him get a crack at starting the next Cactus League game and having this thing go down to the wire.
Yeah, for sure. And Rocchio's coming on at the right time. Arias still is struggling. Joey made an error yesterday against the Rockies. Tania and him, the two middle infielders in the Rockies' 6-run first inning, they kicked the ball around a little bit, and it didn't help Jaime Barea. It's still really a close call. I don't know who's going to win this job, but Rocchio is putting his best foot forward at the right time of spring to me, Joe.
Yeah, and just the fact that yesterday he got to stay back at Goodyear and play with the veterans in that veteran lineup. And that lineup yesterday looked like what you would think an opening day lineup would be, with Quan, Ramirez, Naylor, Laureano, Jimenez, Bo Naylor, Straw, and then Rocchio in that lineup. So, I could see that as an opening day lineup, couldn't you?
That definitely. I was interested to see Straw hitting seventh. That was interesting to me.
Yeah, well, I think he was eighth, right?
Oh, well, De Los Santos.
Oh, no, De Los Santos was, you're right. Straw was seven. Rocchio and De Los Santos is in there. Now, what's that say that they sent Arias with the split squad and mostly backup guys to the Rockies, and Rocchio got to stay back with the veterans and start with them.
Yeah, we're reading the tea leaves here, Joe.
Yeah,
we've got our ear down to the railroad track, trying to figure this out.
Conspiracy theories. That's what we're all into here. All right, Hoynesy, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. No game tonight, but we'll be back on Thursday to preview sort of this stretch run of camp and what's going to happen there. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe.
Thank you.